RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So this week, Josh, we are getting down to the wire. We are two episodes away that we haven't seen now from the season finale. And seem like they were interested in moving any of that plot along this week. I don't know. It was an interesting episode. I enjoyed it, but I felt like we have been getting Adrian Chase so much less now. He's been keeping out of the main episode, just showing up in little snippets. Now, of course, he had a little bit more going on here. There's a lot of undercurrent, as there has been in the last couple episodes with him. But
sure. I feel like he has he did so much damage to them several episodes back that they have kind of spent the last, you know, several, like a month or so, trying to get these characters to realize that they can recover from all this damage they've done. You know, ever since Oliver was captured and tortured, it's like the characters are learning their inner strength and starting to become, you know, the heroes that we know they are, which I think, you know, led up to some things we'll probably talk about tonight.
Yeah, exactly. And there were some other really interesting things going on in this episode thematically, which, as we've talked about earlier this season, you have a lot of threads that move between the fifth season and the first season. And so, that's a big part of a number of things we're going to talk about on this week's episode. So without further ado, Monsignor, would you tell us about this week's episode?
See. All right. Well, this was episode 21 of season 5, winding down the fifth year of Arrow. Hard to believe.
I tell you.
Yeah, I know. It does not seem like that long talking to you about all this stuff, especially with all the flashbacks from the correlations of the first season that you and I've been discussing. It just doesn't seem like 5 years. It's kind of wild. It's kind of like going through all your old comic books and, you know, you start looking at one and then you can't stop reading it. And then you just start, you know, you've read several dozen storylines by the time you're done. So it's kind of nice, actually. Well, this aired May 10th, 2017, and it was called Honor Thy Fathers. This week's written by Mark Guggenheim and Sarah Tarkoff, and it was directed by Laura Belzy.
Familiar names here.
Yeah, for sure. I was at the beginning of this episode. Now I was just kind of guessing, you know, what was going to happen. As you do, you kind of look at it and you think you know what's going to happen. But it appeared as if Adrian Chase was trying to, you know, bury the hatchet with Oliver. He sent him a present directly to the mayor's office. What a nice guy! And is it really wrong of me to when I first saw that big wooden crate to think that it was like a leg lamp?
Yeah,
that's just what it reminded me of. Sorry, but actually, you know what it turned out to be was a body in cement. So my insightful speculation about the good inside all of us took a serious punch in the gut there, but that's all right. You know, the body was actually someone that had disappeared 15 years ago, and upon further analysis, may have been killed by Oliver's father, Robert.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it turns out that Oliver's and Adrian's fathers may not have been all that different after all. Well, this new revelation put a bit of a damper on Thea Queen's return. And she's pretty convinced that she's grown to be a monster because of the bad things her parents had done in the past. So they have to find Chase quickly, because it seems as if he's using some of the hard criminals that have been released lately, thanks to him, to put a truly evil plan in place, one that Chase's own father hatched 5 years ago. And this one could kill the entire city, you know, again. Because it's May.
It's May.
Well, Felicity's and Curtis's A1 forensic skills, They reveal some other clues, though, and it leads them to a possible location of Chase. So the confrontation is on. Oliver and the entire team, they confront Prometheus and, of course, all of his henchmen at the Robert Queen Applied Science Center, or the Wequesic. I think that's what they call it. And they're going to stop him once and for all. And when Oliver reveals a terrible truth to Chase about his old man, the good guys are triumphant. Now they can all sit back and spend some quality time dealing with leaving the past in the past, getting daughters back into their lives, and coming to terms with their complex relatives. Are you kidding? There's still two episodes left. We got tons to worry about.
And that's a good thing for us, because it would be kind of boring to just have them sit around watching Diggle buy rounds of drinks for everybody over two episodes.
I don't know. You know, Diggle's pretty good at buying those drinks. It might be interesting.
Eh, you know, I mean.
I guess it depends what you're into, I suppose.
If you're good at something, you're good at something. That's what it is. So, all right. Well, before we get to discussing this week's episode, I want to say a congratulations to the winners of our Arrow Pin giveaway from the folks here at Scarlet Velocity. At Green Justice. What show are we doing? From Green Justice and Fan Sets. Yeah. So we randomly chattered. Picked three winners, and those are Monica, that's Inner Moonlight on Twitter, Cody Bear YT, and Jared, who goes by Nerdish J on Twitter there. So I think everyone there has already gotten in touch with us, so look for your Arrow Pins to go out as early as next week. And you know, thank you very much for entering. And for those of you that entered but didn't win, thanks so much for trying and participating with us. It was a very successful promotion that we had going here. The people at Fansets are happy. We're very happy with the turnout that we got. And you or anybody else can get that Arrow Pin right now from fansets.com. If you just go to their website, you can order the pin there. And, you know, you should probably keep following us on social media, either Twitter or Facebook. Definitely keep listening to the podcast, because I'm pretty sure we'll be having some more of these giveaways of some kind in the future.
Oh, yeah. And these pins are great. I mean, so you gotta check them out, you know, whether you're going to enter to win or win whatever, you know, we might be giving away, or just go to Fan Sets and check out some really cool things. I you know, I think I mentioned to you sometimes I use these pins on my lanyard at work that I have to wear at work. But another thing I do, though, at my desk here as I'm podcasting, you know, I like to kind of decorate my area as I'm looking. And I put up a little cork strip just right by my desk, and I like to display my pins in front of me while I'm recording. So these are some other ones I really want to get. I want to get like a complete set of I don't know, like the Super Friends or Justice League, or definitely the DC TV heroes. You know, once those are all out, I gotta get those. So
yeah, there are a bunch of great DC TV ones coming out in July and August. That's when our Flash one for the Scarlet Velocity giveaway will be out. But they're also they have a couple from Supergirl, a couple from Gotham, a couple from Legends of Tomorrow, including a Black Canary and stuff like that. So pretty cool stuff there. And yeah, the challenge of the Super Friends once they've done with the basic Justice League, but also like Apache Chief, and I think they had Black Vulcan, and who was the Whirlwind guy? Samurai?
Samurai. Oh, yes, yeah, Samurai. I got Apache well. Chief. I got that one in Orlando. I love that one.
Yeah, he's big. He's really cool. So.
He is big.
Well, speaking of some of these other superheroes, really interesting piece of news came out this week. Greg Berlanti, who is an executive producer on this show and the head producer on Supergirl and Flash, he's been working on a Black Lightning series for Fox. Well, I guess last week, CW said, hey, you know what? We'd like to see a pilot for that for us, for CW. And then they said, forget about that. We're going to go ahead and go straight to a series order. So next year, I don't think it's going to be a mid-season replacement, but CW has picked up Black Lightning as a new superhero show. So that's going to be the fifth TV show about superheroes and the sixth comic book show overall on CW. If you don't count Riverdale, which I guess you kind of could. That's kind of based on comic books too, with Archie and all that. So
true. Now, that's not DC Comics though. And it's nothing like true. Archie Comics DC. That I used to buy in the grocery store.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, Black Lightning's about a guy, Jefferson Pierce, and he's black and he has lightning. It was the early 70s. They were
is that what that is?
Time, so. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I think it has a lot of potential there because that was a pretty cool character even back in the 70s when they were trying to diversify.
Right. And what I think is cool about it, so in the 80s, Black Lightning was known as a member of Batman's team, the Outsiders. Now, not that they would have Batman on here, but there are a bunch of great characters from the Outsiders, including Metamorpho, Halo, Geo-Force, Looker. I don't know how great a hero Looker is. She's like a model, but, you know, she's a looker. So it'll be interesting to see. Oh, Katana, who's been on Arrow here, is also a member of the Outsiders. So, you know, there's potential for even a larger section of the DC comic book universe to be expanded upon, which I think is really cool.
That is cool. It's fun. So I we talked about this with Legends of Tomorrow, how it's kind of just neat that they're able to use opportunities like this to spotlight characters that otherwise wouldn't be shown because they're not going to get their own show. You know, minor characters in comics aren't going to get their own show, but it's fun to be able to see them in a way where they can expand on them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, look for that coming in the fall here. Like I said, I don't know if it's a mid-season replacement. I think it may only be a half season or something like that, but it's a start and I'm sure we'll probably see some crossovers. Hopefully not part of the big show crossover, but maybe like some guest stars, you know, like Oliver stops by to give him some advice or, you know, who knows? He has to visit Star Labs and talk to Cisco and HR about something. So
I like that.
All right. Well, in Honor Thy Fathers this week, we had Oliver making the shocking realization that his dad was really not the man he thought he was, which is, I guess we didn't really know how bad he was. We knew, and Oliver knew, that his dad was dirty. You know, he was involved in a number of, you know, shady deals, especially with like the Undertaking with Malcolm Merlyn and, you know, some other business folk that were all in the Ledger, the ones that Oliver had been hunting down in the first season. But we actually find out that Robert is worse than we thought he was.
Is he worse than you thought he was? Because he's really not that much worse than I thought he was.
He's not. No. Well, I mean, like, I didn't realize that, you know, he killed somebody. But yeah, that's just like, well, that's just another little step along his way. He was, you know, he still obviously had some issues.
Oh, sure. But it didn't surprise me that he had some, he maybe, you know, a little dirtier than that too, especially since we saw Moira do some kind of nasty things because of being involved in that group with Malcolm Merlyn and doing the Undertaking. It seemed like they never really hesitated at the option of having to take care of somebody like that. But who knows? Right. Maybe I've just been jaded after years of seeing so many secrets and lies come out of the family.
Well, if Robert had survived, I think he would have even been worse off because, of course, he would have been more involved. I mean, I feel like Moira went, you know, much further down the road of ill-gotten gain and you know, destroying her life and stuff. But that's only because she lived longer to be involved with these people, you know, doing these bad things.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was interesting because Oliver's first response is to deny the accusations and defend his dad. He was ready to go out and, give a press conference, basically lie to the press again, which of course would have worked right into Chase's plan. But Chase appears to work out eventualities for everything. He's really a master strategist. Other than the fact that he got caught at the end here, which we'll delve into a little bit later here. But there was an interesting thing that I can't remember if it was Oliver or Thea that brought this up. I think it was Oliver was talking about this, but just about the fact, just because someone loves you, you know, what do you think about that they aren't necessarily a nice person? So, you know, you've got, let's just say a parent, you know, they love you and they would do anything for you, but, you know, they happen to be, you know, a mob boss or something like that. Is that, you know, does that really make them any, you know, does that make their love any less? It's just kind of complicates things, I think.
You know, it does complicate things for sure. And I've thought about this many times over the years, you know, knowing people, you know, you get, you know, friends or even family members that are in kind of nasty situations and you're like, well, let's see, how are they going to handle that? You know, what is the family going to do to take care of that? Because the person's clearly guilty of whatever it was they did, whether it's, you know, just say a teenager going out and doing some wild things, or, you know, maybe a family member that got involved in something illegal and, you know, crime or even gang or something like that. Because as a family, you know, they say, your blood's supposed to be thick and you're supposed to stand by your family at all times. But at what point do you say, you know, look, they're doing some bad stuff and they either need to fix it. They either need to, make it right or accept the consequences, or we're not going to deal with this. You know, we can't be a part of it. We can't expose the family to this. And, you know, I don't have an answer. I don't know. I don't, you know, fortunately, I guess I haven't had to be personally in a situation where one of my, you know, close family members or immediate family members was in serious trouble with the law. Hopefully I never will. But I've always been kind of the mind that they need to be accountable for what they do. And I can still love them, but they have to take care of it. And if they don't, I don't know. I don't know. I might not want to be a part of it.
Well, you know, the family's got to come first, Josh. The family's got to come first.
That's what they say.
No, but does that negate the love because somebody's done something bad like that? Does that mean that, well, they're just a bad person, they really don't love you?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I think you can still love somebody. Number one, I think you can still accept the love that somebody's giving you, even if they've done these bad things. You could say, look, well, I know they love me. Not personal experience, but someone very close, very recently, you know, I know of someone who deeply loved their family, but was involved in some pretty bad stuff. So, but that doesn't change the fact that they love them. And then on the other hand, you know, you always, if you see these like movies or stuff where, somebody in a mob family, they want to go legit, you know, because the family's kind of scary and doing some bad stuff. But they want to get away from that. Doesn't mean they don't love them any less, but they don't want to be obligated to have a life of crime and actions that are not moral.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's a hard thing. I can't imagine being in a situation like the Queens are.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, they're in a crazy situation. Of course, you know, the kids have ended up very much like their parents, though they've walked a slightly different path. You know, we've seen how they've grown and the morality that they have skirted, right? They kind of stray over this imaginary line of morality a little bit each way, right? You can't say they're...
Let me ask you this.
True. Yeah.
And this would be a good question to ask, even if it wasn't necessarily in the show, but in the video that they were watching of Robert, He said something about everything he had done for the family. Now, right after that, he said, you know, but that was all a lie. You know, he probably wanted to believe that. But why was he doing those things? What was it that made him make those decisions? You know?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You say he probably, you know, was that it was a lie, but he probably was believing into that. It's like, you know, you do something and you're like, well, I need to do this because I need to protect my family. Or, you know, it starts off with just a little lie about something and you justify it. And maybe that's what he was doing. He just, you know, kept justifying it until he was really far down the path and he was thinking.
So what was his motivations? Was it greed? Was it just selfishness? Was it naivete? Which is a hard word for me to say. What was his motivations behind doing all that? I get Malcolm's. Remember Malcolm? Malcolm did it all, that whole undertaking thing, because his wife died and he was still angry and bitter about how she died, and he wanted to take out that whole section of the town because that's where, you know, what he perceived as those people.
Right, like a cleansing.
Yeah, exactly. So I get that. But it's hard to think of what the motivations would have been of Moira and Robert.
Well, I'm trying to think. Like, what's Oliver's motivation? I mean, maybe so Oliver's motivation has been that he wanted to work hard and honor the man that he thought his father was. So since, you know, we're saying in this episode that they're not too different, the father from the son, maybe Robert was doing something because that's what he thought his dad wanted. You know, maybe it's this weird you know, thing that's been this weird legacy that's passed down through the Queen family over generations. And, you know, Oliver gets to this point where he's, you know, now questioning why he did all these things. And it's like, well, I've been honoring my dad, and now I find out my dad's not who I thought he was. So what does that mean about all the good work that I've done? I mean, it's kind of a faith-based question there for him. He gets that part where he's like, well, if my dad is a jerk and a killer and I've done all this work in his name, like, what does that say about the stuff I've done? And, you know, that's where Felicity says, you know, at this point, who cares why, you know, you were doing it. You did it. It was good things. You know, it saved a lot of people. Sure, you know, there's some collateral damage along the way, and those are things that we've talked about and they've talked about, and they have to work out. But, you know, just because you do good things for the wrong reasons doesn't necessarily negate the fact that you were doing good things. Now, you still may have consequences associated with those deeds because of the reasoning that you were doing it. So, I mean, you know, you could be taking out all sorts of bad guys and, you know, that's great. You're helping out and stuff, but, you know, you're doing it as a vigilante and, you know, that's illegal. So you might have to answer for that. And, you know, they didn't get into that, the consequence element of this, but, you know, that may be some of the reasoning behind why these people do these weird things that they do.
Yeah, it could be. Well, and I think Felicity really, she really hit the nail on the head with what you're saying, how, you know, you may have started for this to honor your father. You may have started because of that, but since then, you know, you've done so many good things. Does it matter why? What's the difference? You know, what's the difference why you started? You've done a lot of great stuff. And, I think that applies to a lot of things in life, actually.
Like, I mean, like in his example, do you have a...
Well, just kind of the idea of starting something for one reason and then, you know, finishing it. I can kind of look back as looking for an example. I can kind of look back at when I started teaching, right? Uh-huh. When I started teaching children, and my motivation was, I thought, hey, you know what? I'm good with kids. I think this would be kind of fun. I don't know what else, what other kind of job I want, you know? And
meet chicks. Let's, right.
Yeah. I think it was more summers off, actually.
Oh, yeah.
but, you know, as the years progressed and I really made this connection with kids and started to feel success, like I was really making a difference in life and many other things that teachers can relate to, positive differences that you make in their life. It became something entirely different than what I started, and you do something long enough, it really just, if it's important to you, I think the reason that you're doing it changes from why you originally started. So,
mm-hmm. But you're still, if you're just doing it for the one reason, and that's the only reason you're ever doing it, you're not growing as a person either.
True. That's true.
You know, that's and the reason you do things, the reason you continue to do things should probably change because, if you're still called to that line of work or enjoy that line of work, you may get something different out of it now than you did 10 years ago. And that's a good reason to, keep remotivating yourself to do it. And, in this episode, Oliver, he finally puts the hood back on because he's like, you're right, I shouldn't have to give all this up because someone's trying to convince me of, my worth. Oliver knows what he's worth. He knows what his team has accomplished and has a lot of good deeds under his belt. And
that's kind of what
Adrian tells him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning here, this episode where I think it took all this time for them to realize that. I don't think he's ever realized that in his whole life that how much good he's doing.
This was a really interesting episode because it seemed like there were a lot of things kind of clicking in Oliver's head about, like you mentioned in the brief at the beginning, leaving the past in the past. There's so many elements of that. Him coming to realize that maybe he needs to do this for different reasons now than just to honor his father. And I can see them really kind of clicking and closing off all the little check boxes, for lack of a better term, that they've set up here for these 5 years and moving Oliver into the next phase of his life and of his heroic journey, which I think is really, interesting. And there's still a number of things that need to be closed out, that need to be dealt with in this season. But he's in a much better place at the end of this episode than he's been the majority of this season.
I agree.
I think there's still some things that he needs to focus on and come to terms with within his family as well as within himself. But we're going to be dealing with that next year. So this episode was called Honor Thy Fathers, though plural, which is interesting. It's quite a riff on the second episode of the first season called Honor Thy Father, which is where Oliver has come back. And that's really where he decides to take the battle to the streets. And, the first episode he did what he did because there was pressure put on him and, because he was kidnapped. But this is the first episode where he really decides, I need to take a page from my dad's book, literally, and go out and start crossing these names off on them. And so there's quite a point counterpoint between these two episodes. So, like I said earlier, Oliver's deciding, to change what honoring Robert means, which is really interesting because we kind of in the background of a lot of these episodes and over the seasons, it's and especially, well, it's in the opening monologue, I think, pretty much every week. I did this to honor my father or honor the sacrifice of my father, and that is the impetus, like I said, that got him into this part, but, or into this, lifestyle, but he needs to move on. And what's interesting about this episode is that it's honoring thy fathers, because there are so many different characters with father issues in here. Obviously, Oliver. Adrian being the other one, which we have most of the season here, we've been kind of pairing them up. Well, we didn't know what was going on, but now once we had the reveal, we know that Adrian was doing what he did to Oliver because Oliver killed his dad, and so Adrian's going to honor his father's legacy and, you know, belittle Oliver and, you know, try to take him down a peg. But what's interesting is that Adrian is doing things kind of for the wrong reason. I thought it was a really interesting change, because Oliver went from being on the defensive to then realizing kind of what the key was here at the end, where he says, don't you see, it's like, you know, at least my father loved me, even though he had problems with him. Your dad had problems, but he didn't love you. He wanted, you know, to commit you or you
know. He's like, my dad loved me.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's quite a revelation. You think about all these horrible things that both of the fathers has done, and, you know, it seems like Adrian's dad, Simon's dad, is way worse, because, you know, it's like he wanted to disown his child. Well, because he's crazy, though I don't know if that's, I mean.
Well, and that,
child's,
you know,
crazy,
dad,
you still need to love him.
Yeah, but his dad wasn't very nice to begin with. He was going to, you know, give a bunch of people this disease and kill off so he could, you know, make money on medicine.
Just in Lamb Valley. Just in Lamb Valley.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. But, yeah, there's all kinds of father issues in this episode. I mean, you have
TV nowadays,
Adrian,
is
course.
Made up of that too. So just father issues all over the place ever since Lost, I think. So I blame Lost.
Yeah. You think that that's like, hey, they're like, hey, that's a good idea for a story. Well, you had Adrian and then, Oliver obviously is having issues, and, you know, Oliver and Thea. But on the opposite, not the opposite side, but a continuation of that, being the father and being the issue, I guess, you had Renee.
Right.
Right? And having these issues with the father. And you can kind of speculate as to what kind of issue Zoe would have as she grows up and gets older if he's not around, or, you know, based on the decisions he makes. So, it's all about daddy this week. It really is. It's a great title for this episode.
Well, and even Lance, you know, is really, really pushing Renee to make the right choice, because, again, it's a choice that he wishes he had. It's a choice that he can't make anymore. But going back to Oliver and Adrian for a second, it's really interesting that Oliver gains the upper hand in this battle, apparently. I'm going to say apparently right now, because I think there's some other stuff going on here. When, you know, for the fourth time, he decides to leave the past in the past. You know, he's, which is an interesting use of the phrase, because a core thematic element of every episode is the flashback. And it sounds like they're going to be giving up the flashbacks. Well, they won't be able to do the flashbacks, at least in the same way, because flashbacks have always been 5 years ago, and now we're 5 years in, so he's going to get rescued from the island. So not only is this like Oliver kind of giving up the past, it's also, I think, talking about the show giving up the past. You know, we can't keep dwelling in these flashbacks about who Oliver was. We have to kind of start looking forward. Now, again, not to say that they won't ever do flashbacks again, but it's at that moment that Oliver, you know, gives up this burden, this weight that he's been carrying with him for these 5 years, 10 years, I guess, since his dad died, and, you know, trying to make sure that whatever he's doing it to honor the memory of his father. And he kind of gives that up, and that's when he seems to gain the upper hand on Prometheus, who apparently hasn't been able to get rid of these daddy issues.
No, clearly.
So, But then you had brought up Renee, which is another good father element. But I was thinking about another son. And now I'm thinking, because they were talking about how basically the sins of the father get revisited on the child. You know, Robert's sins come down to Oliver. And who was it? I think Quentin or Anatoly in the flashback.
Anatoly, yes. I know what you're going to say.
He reminds Oliver and he says, you know, it's you that pay for your father's sins, but who's going to pay for yours? So one of the things I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop and get on to William, because last week's episode was a pretty tense ending with Adrian confronting William at the bus stop, and it just ends. And all we get this week is, hey, any luck finding William? And Felicity's like, no, they did a good job of hiding themselves. I think we're cool. And then we get Chase in the little clear plastic glass, whatever, prison, you know, which is all the rage.
he's where they keep all the important criminals.
Yeah. Well, so he can't use his magnetic powers.
Well, of course, right. Yeah.
Something like that. And then we see Oliver giving his press conference, and Chase just kind of leans back and smiles because he's talking about how, you know, you have to leave the past in the past and move on and stuff like this. And I feel like, as an excellent strategist, Chase has already put his final play into motion.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I just assumed, since there were two more episodes left, that that fight wasn't going to be over, obviously. You know, it occurred to me that there may be something else that they're going to have to worry about in addition to this, but that William was still out there. And I said last week how much that freaked me out when, you know, he went up to William, just because of the situation being a kid and so innocent like that. But, man, I tell you what. Yeah, it seemed like he had the upper hand, and he always seems to be a few steps ahead of him. And this one, they got him. They caught up. And I do really believe they caught up. I don't know that he intended to get caught, but
he had already done whatever he needed to do, it seems like.
He has an insurance, He has a backup plan. He has an insurance policy in William.
Because there's still probably people that are working with him. We know Talia has aligned herself with him previously. Yeah. And he's been working with the other Black Canary. The younger girl, Evelyn.
Oh, Evelyn. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Well,
because they, you know, it looked like they were on the outs when Oliver was being tortured, but you know, that was just a ploy.
Sure. Well, plus, you know, I mean, there's all these convicts have been released, you know, thanks to him being a bad guy, and he was the one that put him behind bars in the first place. Yeah. And he was working with Samson this week, and there's other people out there too. So I'm sure he's got them under his thumb, and they have been helping to put plan B, C, D, W, X, you know, triple J into effect, just in case.
Well, I'm sure next week it's all going to come to a crazy head, and we're going to have no idea how it's going to get dealt with in the season finale, which...
Of course. I hope.
Which, it looks like we're back to having flashbacks, which... given the fact that Oliver has 48 hours until Anatoly sends the fisherman boat to rescue him, I'm kind of thinking, well, that breaks down to about 2 days. There's two more episodes left, so I think we're going to see Oliver's next 2 days on the island, basically. And it doesn't look like it's going to be an easy stretch.
I had a thought about that. Okay. So, you know, Anatoly had arranged for him to be rescued in 2 days. But if you think back to the timeline, okay, and again, this kind of goes to the idea that they're going in real time, which they don't always do on this show, but a lot of times they have.
Right. Well, at least for the present day stuff.
Right. But season one started off with Oliver being rescued from the island.
Yeah.
And that was in, I don't know, September, October? I don't know. I don't remember when it premiered, but
I would say it's probably September. Yeah.
It definitely the fall, right? So, And it's May. Now, again, you know, these are flashbacks and all that. But what if Kovar being there has thrown that, you know, two-day plan into disarray and something else happens where he's there a little bit longer?
I got it. Well, that's an interesting idea. I don't think they're going to do that because Guggenheim has always said that the final shot or the end of the last episode of season 5 will be connecting to the rescue from season 1. So I think it is going to connect like that, but who knows? You know, I mean, they changed their mind about other stuff, right? No superpowers ever on the show. And that didn't last too long. But it was interesting. We got some questions answered. Not necessarily questions that I really had a burning desire to have answered, but they kind of complete, you know, they just kind of finished dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Like, how did the Deathstroke mask get on the on that stick with the arrow sticking out of its eye? We got that answer. looking at Oliver.
That's not what I thought. That's not what I expected.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was not. I didn't feel it was like a great answer as other people online. I know we're not crazy about that. But the other thing I was thinking is like, well, didn't Oliver have like crazy castaway hair and crazy castaway beard? So he is going to have to be on there a little bit longer while we've got the stage makeup and stuff like that. So which
I think you and I have expected.
You know. That's not going to work. I don't know. That's
oh, it'll work. That's how they caught it. I mean, that's how they rescued him and saw him. And you and I had kind of speculated back when he had cut his hair in the flashbacks. You know, they're like, wait a minute. I thought, no, there's no way he could grow that fast. So that makes sense. I was okay with that.
So, and then, hey, look, Kovar shows up on Lian Yu to kick his ass. Just like I suggested like 3 episodes ago, 4 episodes ago.
You did? But how did he know? How did Kovar know he was on Lian Yu?
I'm going to say he placed a tracker or something on Anatoly, or, you know, he just followed them or something like, you know, something.
Or maybe he owns the company that rented the plane.
No, that's Lao Che.
Oh, right. Lao Che. I'm sorry.
Yeah. See you later, Lao Che. Which is funny because I was just watching that last weekend. So
were you really? Oh, I like that movie a lot.
Yeah. Temple of Doom. So I don't know. And, you know, of course, it's like we know Oliver gets off the island and supposedly, you know, Kovar isn't there. He obviously did not do a too good job of killing him. I think I would assume that the final fight with Kovar is going to happen near the grave site because they showed that again. I just have a feeling that there's just big rocks there. I just have a feeling like, you know, basically to kill Kovar in front of Tyana's grave is how he will honor Tyana's request to kill Kovar. I just it just seems a very visual way to kind of deal with that. Obviously, I have no idea, but I think that would, make for an interesting, element in the storyline.
Yeah, that's a good thought, actually. I hadn't even thought about that. It would be like justice for Tyana.
Yeah. And, because she is not alive, obviously, to see it. So we'll see. All right. Thea shows up in this episode. We only see her every a few episodes now. Obviously the real world implication of this is that the actress is doing some other work, and this is the schedule that, you know, she can meet for the show. But obviously there's something else going on. Like, where does she keep going? And, you know, she's talking about how she's a monster. She's a hot mess. She doesn't want to go put on, you know, her red leather and go kick butt. She's already come to grips with a ton of stuff, you know, finding out Malcolm Merlyn's her dad, dealing with the, the poisoning she was having, the drug that they were giving her. So that made her, violent and stuff like that, you know? So, there's been a lot of things that she's gone through. I'm just wondering, Do you have any idea? Like, is this just a red herring? Is there anything that this means, or is she just off trying to like cope with all the crazy stuff that's been happening in her life?
I mean, well, that's what it sounded like, but I'm not sure why. And you know, when I see stuff like this, sometimes I think, well, it's because the actress is doing other things, or you know, she didn't want to be on the show quite as much because she's got other projects, or I don't know. So like the real reasons that is happening, but I'm disappointed. I'd really like to see her more, and I'd really like to see her as Speedy. I miss seeing her as Speedy.
Yeah, I mean, she does bring a nice tempered counterpoint to Oliver in the show. And it was interesting that we got to see the video of this is the first time, as I recall, we've seen the video of what Robert told her, and the fact that he thinks that she needs to look out for Oliver, which is interesting because that's kind of what she's been doing, but all under the guise of, you know, working with Oliver and stuff like that. Just the one line that kind of stuck with me from this week's episode with her was, you know, you give these orders and you expect us to, you know, that like we're going to follow them, but you know, you're just saying stuff. It doesn't mean I'm going to listen to you. It was, you know, that's just the problems of everybody here on the show. But I had a weird idea, you know, so earlier in the season, we've had this vigilante character showing up. And for a while, we thought that was Adrian Chase because of the way that the comic books work and everything like that. And this character like shows up and then disappears. And like, we, you know, we haven't heard from this character in 5 or 6 episodes now.
Oh, maybe more than that.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, with Thea being so sporadic around and stuff like this, maybe there's something else going on with her and she is vigilante and, you know, maybe.
Whoa, wait a minute. That is an amazing idea.
It would.
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, it's an interesting supposition. It's just I'm connecting some random threads here, but
oh man, but it makes a lot of sense, and even when Oliver's talking about you know, where she's been and who she's been hanging out, he's like, have you been hanging out with Roy? Was it Roy? She's like, no, I wouldn't hang out with Roy. It was like she's hanging out with somebody else, maybe vigilante. like she is vigilante, you know, like, but
yeah, possibly.
Wow. Okay, you know what? Hey, everybody listening, this is what I want you to do. If it turns out that Thea Queen is vigilante, I want you to give Jay credit for this because this is awesome. go out there and say, and if she's not, you can blame me. It's fine. That's all good.
Oh, dude.
Wow, that's a really great idea, though. I think you're right. I think you're totally onto something. She's going to be unmasked either next week or in the finale as vigilante. And then if she could come back as Speedy, please, that would be great.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep watching, I guess, and see what's going on. And then finally, I wanted to ask, what happened to Renee? I feel like he really wouldn't have missed out on his court appointment. I know there was the part in the middle where he was like, oh, I didn't realize I got to testify, Haas. I don't want to do that. But, you know, he seemed so happy at the beginning. And, you know, I felt that Quentin gave him a really good speech. Really good speech.
Oh, sure.
That, you know, I think you can do this for all dads. And just to leave his daughter hanging like that. I really feel that's out of character for him. And so I'm wondering if, you know, one of these other plans that we were talking about earlier with Prometheus, you know, involved, you know, kidnapping Renee or something.
I'm almost sure of it. I'm almost positive that's where Renee is. I don't think he would have missed this for a world. He wasn't responding to Quentin's texts. He, you know, mm-hmm. he Yeah. I don't think he would have missed it.
I mean, other than the fact that he may just be in his apartment drinking himself into a stupor and not answering texts.
No, that's not him. He doesn't do that. He doesn't drink himself into a stupor. We've never seen him do that. He talked about it after.
He talked about, right.
That one time. I don't think he's actually drank, you know, since then.
Since Zoe got injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Prometheus's minions have captured him. And again, you know, not to look at the previews for next week, but that supports our supposition there.
Well, also he's not dead because I heard he's coming back next season. So
oh, that's good news. Hey.
Yeah. He and Lance are going to continue working together, I guess. So
and Curtis, don't forget Curtis.
Well, they were all I heard was that meaning Renee and Lance are going to continue working together in the mayor's office.
Yeah, I know. I know. But you got Curtis.
Oh, but Curtis
and
is there too.
Renee's relationship. You know, I just.
Oh,
I,
right. Right. Because I'm a shipper. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Of course. So. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that all ties together. So see what's going on. We got an interesting piece of feedback. I believe this was for the previous episode.
Yeah, I think so.
If I'm not mistaken. Would you mind sharing Greg's feedback?
Sure. So this was about the episode where Oliver and Felicity were trapped, right, under in the cave with the explosion and the gas. So this is from Greg on Facebook. He said, "Great discussion, guys. I was ready to hate this episode, mainly because of the timing this episode takes place. We're close to the end of the season, and they still haven't flashed back to Oliver going from Russia back to the island since before the hiatus." Now we got that this week.
Yeah,
so that
check that off. Yeah, we got that dealt with.
Then Felicity had that talk to Oliver in the hospital, and the entire episode was worth it. Love the subject of trust you guys talked about, and this episode really allowed things on the table and much-needed character growth to happen. This episode might also lead to the show becoming Arrow again because we haven't seen the suit in a few episodes now. Oh, hey, check that off, too. And I agree. We talked last week about how I was worried that this, or you know, I don't know if I said I was worried, but that this might not be an exciting enough episode to put here. But I thought it worked really well, and I'm kind of the same with this week. Even though we saw a little action, especially on the stairway there, that was a nice little fight with Prometheus. But
that was a good stunt work on the really closed and confined set there. So
yeah. So yeah, thanks to Greg for sharing his thoughts about what ended up being a much better episode than I expected.
Also, there were a couple of tweets we got. One buddy who keeps sending us stuff on Twitter with the hashtag MuffinTopArcher. He sent us he's actually been taking up archery, which I love that he keeps sending us these videos of him doing archery things. And it's like a night shoot. It looks like he's shooting like a glow stick it's in slow motion. It's a little hard for me to actually see because it's night, but it looks like he's doing like night target practice with a glow stick.
I think that's a kryptonite arrow, I think is what that was.
Oh, that is wicked. That's really cool. And then Benjamin, it took me a little bit to get this one. Benjamin, I got to tell you, when you first tweeted this out to us a couple days ago, I was like, what's going on? I don't quite understand. But when I was watching the episode again, he says, "Sorry, Oliver, now we all know who Felicity's really in love with." And he puts a picture of Oliver and Felicity next to this, what is it? It's like a KFC Colonel Sanders novella. Yeah, it's Colonel Sanders holding this woman and a bucket of chicken, and it's called Tender Wings of Desire. And the reason he put these together is because Felicity's outfit is the red skirt with the white lacy top and the little black bolo tie, which she looks like Colonel Sanders. I completely missed that the first time through, and I am like rolling on the floor.
Oh, it was hysterical!
These images together, so
and I just as a little side note, I gotta say, I'm liking Colonel Sanders a little bit more now after that outfit that she had on. It's
dude, if you haven't seen, he helped the Flash. If there was a Colonel Sanders comic where he helped the Flash like defeat Reverse Flash or something, the evil Colonel Sanders from the other dimension or Earth 2 or whatever it was.
That's right. I remember that comic.
He's all over superheroes, yeah. And Just one final thing. We got a tweet here that says, doing paperwork mid-shift at work and people turn and stare at my loud boom of exclamation when I heard Green Justice Pod mention my comment. So, Brett, there you go. We're going to talk about
yes.
you again.
Yes. I love it when I get people to shout out loud when they're listening to me. Right, yeah. And if it's not an anger, you know, I do that more often probably than the...
Damn you, Josh!
How could you say that? You're an idiot!
Yeah. That's just in your head. You need
oh,
to leave
is it?
The past
okay.
in those, the past.
Those are the voices in my head, yes. Sorry,
voices
Dad.
In your head.
Sorry.
Sometimes,
sorry, Dad.
Sometimes they come out. So a couple of references in this particular episode. The judge, Judge Balderrama, sounded very much like a reference to Oscar Balderrama, who's one of the show's writers, done a number of the episodes here. Not this one, of course. And this was a really oblique reference when Felicity mentions that Oliver and Diggle were acting out the paleo version of Witness, which, of course, when they were getting buried in the concrete, Witness is Harrison Ford is getting buried in the grain silo, which, of course, Curtis got. I think that's quite a stretch. But
oh, come on. Who hasn't seen Witness?
I mean, I've seen it. It's just I feel it was just a stretch. That's all I'm saying.
A little bit of a stretch. Good movie, though.
So I know Witness is a definitely a good film, and I only saw it for Harrison Ford and was like, huh, okay. But, yeah, you know, that's cool. And then there's one little goof that I wanted to mention. If you guys watch the scene where the T-sphere cuts the hole in the ceiling and the big piece of concrete or metal or whatever drops into the really, really, really soupy, wet concrete, it comes in, makes a splash, and then immediately floats on top of the water. So it's not quite as heavy as you think it should be.
But it was such a perfect circle, though. It was
satisfying.
It
looked beautiful. Yeah, it looked great. But, you know, oh well. So I just watched that again, and I just watched the very end of the shot. It's amusing. So, well, Josh, thanks very much for joining me as we honored our fathers this episode. And that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice.
Yeah, thank you for helping me work through some of those daddy issues, you know. So I'm going to go sing a little bit, you know. Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. All right. Well, hey, if you guys
just listen to that.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, everything at least before I started singing, make sure that you head over to iTunes and leave us a little feedback. We would really love to hear from you guys. Plus, it gets the word out there. About our show so other people can come and join in on the fun. But if you want to contact us directly, send us an email to I did that last week too, greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at greenjusticepod. Or, of course, you can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And congratulations again to our pin winners. Like we said, we'll be getting those pins out to you shortly, so you can enjoy that. Make sure to tag us in a picture once you get them. We'd love to see what you're doing to display them. And if you're interested in any of the other shows that Josh and I host, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files or Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, you can find those right here on randomchatter.com as well. All shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy our show and the podcast and the things we have to say, please be sure to share us with your friends. We'd love to build the group a little bit. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.